Good morning. I want to welcome all of you here to our worship service at Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church. And you're probably listening to us on our website because our services have been canceled due to the coronavirus. And we're trying to honor our president and not meet with groups over 10. So for that reason, we're doing this online. And until you hear an updated report from us, we'll continue to meet at our services online. But anyway, these are some very difficult times. We're having to do some strange things, because these are strange times. But our hope and our desire is that our Heavenly Father will continue to watch over you and protect you no matter what. You know, although we can't meet together, we can still worship together in spirit. And until things change, you know, we're going to do the morning message at our website. So as members, we do ask all of you to do two different things. We ask you, first of all, to pray for Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church and for our congregation. Pray for one another and lift one another up in the name of the Lord, that the Lord will keep us strong and healthy. And we also pray and ask that you would continue to support the church with your tithes and offerings. And you may do this by mailing your offerings into the church. And John Wood will be stopping by on a regular basis to pick up any letters that may come in, and he'll be depositing the offerings. Because even though our congregation isn't meeting, unfortunately, the bills continue to roll in. So we do welcome all of you and hope you'll continue each Sunday morning until this is over to worship with us online. So at this time, let's take just a moment as we come to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit might be here to encourage us and to help us on this morning message. And Father, we pray that those who are listening might truly be blessed by your Spirit, that you would give us not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and a spirit of strength and a spirit of boldness as we come before you in these desperate times. Lord, help us to be instruments of your peace. Help us to lift up the name of Jesus at every opportunity, that people would know that we don't have to walk and live in fear, but rather in your strength and in your might. We ask, Lord, that you'd continue to bless our congregation here at Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church, and to help us to do those things that lift up your name and bring glory and honor to you. For we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We do have some special music for you this morning, and this is Annie DeHart, and she's going to be singing a song that really relates to the situation that we're in right now, and the title is God on the Mountain.
Up on the mountain, and you got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, 'cause you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is the God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is the God of the day is the God in the night. We talk of faith, oh, when we're up on the mountain. Talk comes so easy when life's at its best. of trials and temptations. That's where our faith is really put to the test. Oh, the God of mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is the God in the bad times. The God of the day is the God in the night. The God of the day is the God in the night.
Amen. Thank you, Annie. That was very inspirational. Well, if you have your Bibles right with you, please turn with me to our scripture reading this morning. And that's found in Matthew chapter 6, reading verses 25 to 34. Matthew chapter 6, reading verses 25 to 34. And hear now the word of God. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And may God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, without a doubt, the topic of conversation, all that we're hearing about on the news and all people are talking about, is the issue of coronavirus. You know, several weeks ago, no one had even heard about COVID-19. We had no idea that any of this was right on the horizon. How quickly things have changed. You know, we've all had our plans. We all had things that we wanted to do. We were looking forward to certain things. And suddenly something happens that absolutely changes everything. Now all of our plans are uncertain. We may have even planned vacations or to go out of town. Annie and I have a grandson, who's going to be graduating in May. And now we find out that they've canceled the graduation all the way in May. And so it's hard to plan ahead and to look forward when everything seems to be up in the air. It all happens so quickly. You know, natural disasters always have a profound effect on us. Some of you may remember what happened in the year 2004 with the tsunami that hit Sumatra and hit the Indonesia over in that area. 275,000 people were killed in that great tsunami. When something like that happens, it just serves to demonstrate how weak we really are. We move along like we have control, like we're in control of life. We're in control of our circumstances, control of our destinies. And suddenly, a natural disaster hits, something like we're just experiencing right now. and everything changes. You know, this always forces us to think about God and about whether God is truly in control. If we didn't believe that God was in control of everything, we'd be walking in fear 24 hours a day. We could take nothing for granted because everything changes so quickly. But you know, facing these kinds of disasters or these kinds of calamities really shows what we're made of, as a nation and what we're made of as individuals. You know, natural man tends to show their true nature, his true nature, during these times of desperation. I'm sure you've heard, as I've heard, about what's happening in even in our grocery stores and how people are fighting one another over a roll of toilet paper. People that normally would be very gentle or very considerate of one another suddenly have turned into these animals that are going out and taking whatever they can. We have some friends that live in California, and we saw a post on Facebook just recently where they went into a grocery store to try to buy something for that evening's supper. And they thought that they would like to have a pizza. So they walked over to the pizza section, and there weren't many pizzas left, but there was one man who was standing there. He was a big man. He was standing there, and he took 15 pizzas, every single one that was left on the shelf, and put them in his cart while other people were waiting. And he just looked at them like, go ahead and try to take one of them. You know, this it brings out the animal in people. It's like, where is your consideration for one another? What's happened to people? But you know, the opposite of this is also true, that there are also people that during this time are being considerate of one another. They're trying to help one another. There are organizations right now there where if you're in need, that you can call them and they'll do their level best to come and to bring you whatever it is that you need. I know that here at Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church, that if our members are in need, they can feel free to call me, to call one of the elders and say, we need your help. And we'll do everything that we can to be there. But that's the heart that our Heavenly Father wants us to have toward one another. We're brothers and sisters, and we're sharing these experiences together. And this is what brings out the heart of mankind when these natural disasters and problems happened. So how are we to respond, basically, as Christians to this whole issue of the coronavirus? Well, I think, first of all, we should be wise and we should be responsible. That we should carefully consider what those who are in authority are telling us. I know that there are a lot of people that are just pushing it all aside and going on as if life is normal, but it's not. Things have changed. We're not exactly sure how long this virus is going to last or how long the threat will last. And so we need to be wise. We need to be smart. And I feel like the president and those who are in positions of authority are trying to do their very best to keep America safe. And that as believers, I think that we have to submit and listen to what our leaders are saying and follow suit. I think we should also demonstrate sanity and compassion. We should do our best in everything that we do to reflect the heart of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe like that saying that went around several years ago when people would write on their papers or other things, WWJD, you know, what would Jesus do? And if Jesus was in the grocery store and he saw people who were in need, would he be grabbing up everything and taking it home so that he would be okay, so that his needs would be met? I don't think so. Nor do I think that those who follow Jesus should do that. That we should be use sanity, and we should be compassionate. Certainly there will be times when we have needs, and we should strive to meet those needs, but to go way beyond that and try to plan for 6 months ahead because we don't know what's going to happen, that's just not what we should do, because we're taking from others in that process. I think we should also pray for those who are affected, for those who are working right now to find a cure. I think we need to be in prayer for them. and for the processes that are being established here so that the help, the medication, can go out to help people who already have contracted this illness, this virus. We should be praying for them. But you know, where do we find the strength to do all this? Where do we find our direction as Christians? Well, I believe that we need to find it in God's Word, in the Bible. And we go to God's Word because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we find the way that we should live, no matter what the circumstances are around us. You know, certainly there have been times in the past when people have been in desperate situations. Some of you, many of you, hope maybe remember World War II. And you remember when everything was rationed and how people had to go through a time of suffering. And yet they did so because they believed in their leaders and they believed in their countries. And I believe that when we need the strength to be able to do this, we should go to God's Word. And we should see what Jesus had to say about these things. Just a moment ago, I read to you from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. This is a passage that comes out of the Sermon on the Mount. And this was a sermon that was delivered by Jesus to his followers right in the very beginning of his public ministry. And it begins with the Beatitudes, and it goes through a number of different thoughts and teachings during that Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus also recognized that the people that were following him were in great need. He recognized that they were under the jurisdiction at that time of the Romans, and that the Romans were very difficult taskmasters. They were causing people to suffer through their tyranny, through the shortages, sometimes imposed shortages, where they would take everything that people had and give it to the Romans and leave the Jews without. And so the people were suffering greatly during that time. And it was under this background that Jesus made the statement to them, "Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious." And if you read this passage, we just did read it, but if you look at it, you can see that there are three different times in this passage, Matthew 6, 25 to 34, where Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious." Three different times he says that. Verse 25, again in verse 31, again in verse 34. He says, "Do not be anxious" to them. Now, do you suppose he repeats that because he's trying to bring home a point to them? Of course he is. He knows that the people are anxious. He knows that they're struggling. He knows that they're having difficulty. But he tells them, "Don't be anxious about these things." But you know, each time he says, "Don't be anxious," he precedes it with another word. He says, "Therefore, don't be anxious." Now, what does that mean? Well, we always heard the statement that if you see the word "therefore," you should always find out what it's there for. And so as you look at this, where he says, "Therefore, don't be anxious," why is he saying that? Well, you know, people can tell you, "Well, don't worry about that. You know, don't be concerned about that," but there's no basis to what they're saying. You know, it's just like, it should be mind over matter. And what that means is, if you don't mind, it doesn't matter. But that's not what Jesus is saying to the people. When he's saying, "Therefore, don't be anxious," he's saying, there's a reason behind all of this. There's a reason for you not to be anxious. It's a rational decision on your part. Jesus wasn't just casting fate to the wind. He was telling them there's a purpose in this. There's a reason in this. It means that our peace, the peace that he tells us that we should have in these times of distress, is built on a strong foundation. It means, Jesus is saying, it's based on the promises of God and of our Father and of Jesus our Lord. The people had only seen some of his healings. They'd seen very little because this was in the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. They hadn't seen him raise the dead at that point. They hadn't seen him do some of the great miracles that Jesus did. He had healed the sick, and he had done some great miracles up until that time, but they didn't understand fully who Jesus was. But Jesus is saying, "I'm telling you from the heart of my heavenly Father not to be anxious about these things." But what does he tell them not to be anxious about? because I think this relates to where we are today. He says, don't be anxious about your life. Don't be anxious about your food, your drink, your clothing or shelter. And we'll look at that in a minute. But in verse 25, he says not to be anxious about what you eat or about what you drink. Do you realize today how people are obsessed? They're in a panic over whether or not they're going to have enough to eat, whether there'll be enough food. They're running out. They only have 3 weeks' supply, and this may go on for 6 weeks. And what are we going to do? We're going to starve to death. No, you're not going to starve to death. People are obsessed with what they're going to eat. They're buying out all the bottled water as if somehow our water systems are going to fail and they're going to go thirsty. This is the basic human selfishness that's taking over right now. But Jesus is telling his followers, now they didn't have anywhere near the supply line that we have today. They didn't have tractors and trailers working 24 hours a day to bring food back into our stores. They didn't have anything like that. But Jesus was saying, don't be anxious about what you eat or about what you drink. He also says, don't be anxious about what's called raiment. And it's translated clothing. But really what it means is covering. And it speaks not only about the clothes that you put on your body, but it also means where you live, what's going to shelter you, what's going to protect you. It's called raiment. And it meant not only clothing, but also shelter. So this word raiment, basically Jesus is saying, don't worry about where it is that you're going to live, because these things will be provided for you. Now, that's just an amazing statement. I know that today we're concerned about how many of our citizens, Americans, are living in desperate situations. They're living out on the streets. They're living in cardboard boxes. They have no homes at all. And we should be concerned about those things and pray for those people. Pray that the Heavenly Father touches them. We should be able to do what we can do to try to help them as God's people. But what Jesus is saying is, why are you spending your time being anxious about these things? Hasn't God always provided these things for you? Now, I know that there are some people that say, well, now, wait a minute. I've gone through times of great hunger. I've gone through times of great need. But hasn't God seen you through those things? You know, King David made this statement in the Psalms. He said, I once was young, but now I'm old, and yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Well, this is a message for us today as we face this short-term problem called the coronavirus. This is not going to last forever. You know, there's something about Scripture that I love. The words that say, and it came to pass, never says it came to stay. And I believe that coronavirus has come to pass. It's going to be here for a while. It's going to leave. But what's it leaving in its wake? Well, this is why Jesus made this statement as he talked about, don't worry about your food and your drink. Don't worry about your raiment, your clothing, or your shelter. Don't be worried about these things. And then he makes this statement. He says, is not life more than this? Is this the most important thing? I mean, have we been born into this world so that we can struggle day by day just to make sure we have enough to eat and clothes to wear and water to drink? And is this what life is all about? Well, Jesus said, no, it's not. That's not what it's all about. Isn't life a whole lot more than that? Don't we have purposes in this life? Don't we have reasons that God placed us here? Is this all just about some selfish venture where we grab all we can to make sure that we're okay and forget everybody else? That's not it. That's not what it's about. And I believe that's one of the reasons why Jesus said, you know, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Why? Because he knew that the Heavenly Father would provide for him at every turn. And the Heavenly Father did. But you know, in order to put it all in perspective, Jesus wasn't just making a blanket statement to everyone who's born. He said this, "My Heavenly Father will take care of you. My Heavenly Father will provide for you. He'll provide all these things necessary for life." But then he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." He's saying, here's the important part of all of this. That is that if you're seeking this world and the things of this world, you have no right to this promise. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. What's all these things? What are these things there that he's mentioning? He's talking about having enough food. He's talking about having enough to drink. He's talking about having enough clothing and having a place to live. And he's talking about all these things. It's one of the reasons why our heart should be to go out to these homeless people and talk to them about Jesus Christ. Sure, help their immediate need. Give them something to eat. Help them with a place to live. But beyond that, we need to show them to turn to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and call on his name. Then they have the Heavenly Father standing behind them. Then the Heavenly Father becomes the great Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So, you know, as we look at all this, could this be a test for Christians? Could God be using the coronavirus to provide a little wake-up call for us as Christians here in America? And that is, how are you going to live your life? What are you going to pursue? What occupies the majority of your thought life? Is it, how can I honor the Lord and seek him first? Or how can I grab as much as I can so that I'll be okay no matter what happens? You know, we have no guarantees. We can put together all of these supplies and everything that we need, and we could still end up with coronavirus. I read a story where a man went to the doctor and he was told, "I'm sorry, sir, but you've tested positive for coronavirus." And he said, "That's impossible. I have 400 rolls of toilet paper and 200 bottles of hand sanitizer. How can this happen to me?" Well, those aren't the things that protect us. We do have a protector. His name is Jesus Christ. And we turn to him. Maybe God's testing us. Maybe he's seeing how much we actually trust our Heavenly Father. You know, in the song that Annie sang on the God on the mountain, she said this, you know, "We talk of faith when we're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But now it's down in the valley of trials and temptations, and that's where our faith is really put to the test." And I have to tell you something, beloved Christians, our faith right now is being put to the test. We're being tested. How are we going to live our lives? Are we going to live our lives by faith, or are we going to live our lives by fear? We're going to trust in the Lord. We're going to trust in him as our provider, as the one who watches over us. God's promise is this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In the book of Isaiah, we're told this: "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, again, we are so grateful and thankful that we have an almighty God, that we can turn to you in these times of distress. And Lord, sometimes it's difficult for us to not walk in fear because we see circumstances that we can't explain. But Lord, you've seen all of this before. You know exactly what's happening and what's going to happen. And so, Lord, we pray that our faith would be in you. Lord, We pray for those leaders and those people who are making decisions, but we know ultimately the direction of our country, the direction of our own lives is in your hands. And so we call upon you as our Lord and as our Savior. And we thank you and praise you for all of this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.